Let's hear the word of the Lord. We're reading from chapter 20, Revelation chapter 20. Remember, we're speaking to you tonight about the sinner's last encounter with God, the last encounter with the Savior. We're told to prepare to meet God. See, beloved, we're going to meet the Lord. Each of us are going to meet Him either as our Savior or our judge. The Christian's going to meet Him. Hallelujah. The backslider's going to meet Him. And the unsaved's going to meet Him. And how important it is that you and I are ready to meet the Lord. We know not what a day may bring forth. May we be saved tonight and washed in the blood of the Lamb. Revelation chapter 20, verse 1. And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years, and cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up and set a seal upon him, that he should deceive the nations no more till 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that he must be loosed a little season. And I saw thrones, and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead lived not again until 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. And when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison, and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, and the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. And they went up on the breadth of the earth, and compassed the camp of the saints about, and the beloved city. And fire came down from God out of heaven, and devoured them. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Amen. And may the Lord bless to our hearts the reading of that solemn portion of Holy Scripture. Wonder tonight, beloved, as we gather in God's house, are we a thankful people? Do we just rejoice in all the privileges and benefits which are ours tonight? How many of us really rejoice and thank God that we have religious freedom and we have religious liberty? What a blessing that is. There are many parts of the world tonight that don't enjoy that blessing. Have you ever thought of the great blessing about being born into a Christian home? Some of you tonight I know fairly well. I know you were born into a Christian home. You had a praying mother and a godly father. What a blessing that is to start out in life, to have a mother who prays for you, and to have a father who lived a godly example before you. We can testify to that great blessing. What a blessing it is that we have been born into a Christian home. How privileged we are tonight to be sitting in a free Presbyterian church. What a blessing it is to have God's Word. And what a blessing it is when the Lord Jesus comes to us and convicts us of sin and shows to us the way of salvation. On the journey of life, all of us tonight, without exception, have been greatly blessed. What a blessing it is to attend church services, a blessing to attend gospel missions and hear our need of a Savior. Because the Lord draws near to us in a meeting such as this, in a gospel service, and even when we're children at our mother's knee, and in the Sunday school, in the children's meetings, the youth fellowship, the Lord would come and speak to us. We have had encounters with the Savior again and again on the journey of life. But you know, beloved, one day that will all cease. There will be the final encounter with Christ. I wonder, have you ever thought of that? The final time when the Lord would speak, when we would hear His voice for the final time, when He would stop speaking to us. Now that can happen to us on the journey of life. A man can sin away his day of grace. We call it the unpardonable sin. There's a verse that often strikes terror into my heart, and how it ought to do, the more so to the ungodly. It's recorded for us in Proverbs chapter 29. And listen to these words. He that being often reproved, the Lord speaks to us. He reproves us. There's the solemn reproof. He speaks to us through the Scriptures. He speaks to us through sermons. He speaks to us through sickness. He speaks to us through sorrow. But so often we don't listen, we don't respond. He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck. Notice this stubborn resistance to the Word of God shall suddenly be destroyed. Notice this sudden recompense shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. You see, there is a settled destiny to the man, to the woman, who goes on sinning against light, who goes on refusing God's way of salvation. And we can get to the place. And if you're not a Christian tonight, let me get this across to you. As best as I know how, or even with the help of the Lord, could I get it across to you tonight that it is possible to get to a place where God stops speaking to us. I read in the book of Romans chapter 1, where the Lord gave them up to uncleanness. He gave them up to defilement. It is possible to get to the place where God just gives them up. No more preaching, no more pleading with them. Their heart is hard. And he stops speaking to them. Now that can happen on the journey of life, where the Lord stops speaking to us. But that is not the final encounter. My dear friends, I must tell you in passing, that death is not the end. There are those who would attend funeral services, and sad to say, sometimes people make comments and say, well, that's the end of him, he's gone. My dear friend, that is not the end. Death is not the end. My Bible tells me it's appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. There is judgment after death. Death is not the end. Keep that in mind. And the other thing I want to say to you by way of introduction tonight, not only is death not the end, but punishment is not judgment. You see, there are those tonight who are suffering. There are those tonight who are suffering because of their lifestyle, because of their sin. The alcoholic tonight, he's suffering. He's suffering miserably. There are those tonight whose homes are in disarray. There are those tonight, and they have beaten their wives, they've beaten their children, and the children suffer, but that is not, that punishment is not judgment. There are those tonight, millions across the world, particularly in Africa, who are suffering because of AIDS. That is not judgment. That is punishment because of their particular lifestyle. So death is not the end, and punishment is not judgment. But there is a day coming when God will judge this world. We were reading about it tonight, and I want you to take your Bible now and turn to Revelation chapter 20. And I want you to notice with me here is the final judgment. You see, the sinner will stand before the Lord Jesus Christ for the very last time. And God will speak to him for the very last time. You know, it's sad sometimes on the journey of life that there are those who plead with the Lord to stop speaking to them. I have known people that the Lord has been striving with, speaking to them, and they've said, Lord, leave me alone. I don't want to be a Christian. I want to live life my way, and don't trouble me about salvation. What an awful thing that there are those who would pray that. And sometimes God answers that prayer, as already mentioned, and just gives them up. But we're looking tonight at this great judgment. We're talking to you tonight about the sinner's final encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. And I pray the Holy Ghost will burn three things into our hearts. I want you to notice, first of all, in Revelation chapter 20, verse 11, that John saw a great scene. And I saw a great white throne. And then I want you to notice that John saw a great summons. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And then I want you to notice that John saw and heard a great sentence. They were sentenced to eternal damnation. So you can see something of the solemnity of our meeting tonight. Oh, how I pray the Lord will come near, bringing into subjection every wandering thought, that your thoughts will not be going hither and thither, but you'll be focused tonight on this subject, because if you're not saved, it is, oh, my dear friends, so solemnly possible that you will hear the Lord saying, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity, I know you not. But I pray that will not be the case, that you'll repent of your sin and trust Christ, and you'll hear him say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. May the Lord help us now as we turn our attention to these verses, particularly verses 11 through to verse 15. I want you to notice, first of all, with me, the great scene. John says, and I saw a great white throne. You see, John was privileged in so many ways. I would ask you to take the book of Revelation, read it, and note the things that John saw. You see, John was the youngest of the disciples. He was the one who leaned on the Savior's bosom. But now the years have passed. He's an old man, over 80 years of age. Some Bible scholars would tell us he was near 90. And we notice that he had a wonderful revelation of the Lord Jesus. In chapter 1 it says, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him, give unto John, to show unto his servants things which must shortly be done. Verse 10 he says, and I was on the Spirit on the Lord's day, and heard behind me a great voice. He had a wonderful vision of the Lord. He saw the glorified, exalted Lord in the midst of his church. And all the way through, you could go through each chapter, and you would be amazed at what God revealed to John. And the Bible says again and again, I saw. But when we come to 20 here, chapter 20, you'll notice there's a great scene, and John saw it. And notice what he says, and I saw a great white throne. John saw three things. As he gazed upon the immensity of that throne, as he gazed upon its burning and dazzling whiteness, you see, John saw, first of all, purity. You see, white is the symbol of purity. There's been many weddings in this church. The bride would come down the aisle here on her father's arm. She'd be wearing a white dress. And she's saying to the young man who's going to be her husband, I am a pure woman. She's saying to her guests. She's saying to the audience. She's saying to the congregation, I am a pure woman. You see, white is the symbol of purity. And John saw purity as he gazed upon that throne. You remember old Isaiah the prophet. We read about him in chapter 6 of Isaiah, and he says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon the throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. And he heard the angels cry, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. You see, John was like Isaiah. He saw purity as he gazed upon that great throne. As he saw that great scene, he had never seen anything like it before. Notice the scene displayed, the great white throne. He saw purity. But I want you to notice something else. Not only did he see purity, beloved, he saw a person on the throne. Now, we must not speculate. We must be dead on certain as to who is sitting upon this throne of judgment. If you turn back to the book of Acts, We'll find there the old prophet, or the old evangelist, and church planter, and missionary. He tells us in chapter 17, verse 30. Acts 17, verse 30. Listen to these words. Because he hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he raised him from the dead. Notice the one that was raised from the dead. The one that died on the cross, was buried, rose again. My dear friend, he is now on the throne. He is the one that will judge. He was the one that the sinner will have the last encounter with. We're going to meet the Lord Jesus. And listen to me tonight, as you've never listened before. You personally are going to meet him either as Savior or Judge. That's the plain fact of the matter. He'll either be your Savior in that day, or he will be your Judge. I think on maybe more than one occasion, I related a story to you that left a lasting impression upon me. I was a young boy, and I heard an old preacher tell of a young man who was at college. He was studying law, and he applied himself to his studies, and one day he was coming from the university, and he saw a runaway horse, and there was a wretch sitting in a little trap behind the horse, and that student that was studying law was one who was familiar with horses. He was brought up on a farm, and he loved horses, and he stepped into the path of that runaway horse, took the horse by the reins and by the head, and brought the horse under control. And the man sitting in the little bogey or little trap was so thankful, for he knew that that student had saved his life. That student continued with his studies. He became a lawyer, and in the process of time, he was appointed to the bench. He became a judge. And one day, he had a vile criminal before him, and he listened to the evidence. The evidence was given. This man had committed murder. He had attacked a woman. He had murdered her. He was found guilty. The jury went out and they deliberated. They come back in, and the foreman said, "We have found the defendant guilty of murder in the first degree." And the judge started to pronounce sentence upon the criminal. And the wretch in the dock stood up and he said, "Sir, don't you remember me? Don't you know me?" The judge says, "No, I don't, and it wouldn't make any difference if I did. Our judgment is completely impartial." And so the man related to the court the story how so many years earlier that the judge had saved his life. And the judge looked over his glasses and he said, "Sir, that day I was your Savior. Today I am your judge." And that's how it will be on the great judgment day. The one tonight who is your Savior, who can wash in his precious blood, who can cleanse you from all sin. On that day, he will be your judge. Oh, do you see the solemnity of it? John saw a great scene. What a scene was displayed here. A scene that was marked by purity. John saw purity. John saw a person. But John saw perplexity. Notice what he says in verse 11. "And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. And there was found no place for them, no escape, no defense, no one to plead their cause." What a perplexity. Do you remember what's recorded for us in chapter 6? We read there in chapter 6, in verse 15, about the kings of the earth, the great men, the rich men, the free men, the bond men. Notice what they said in verse 16. "And said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us, hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand?" You see, tonight we talk about the grace of God. We talk about the grace of the Lamb. But there's a day coming when it will be the wrath of the Lamb. John saw this perplexity here. There was no hiding place. There was no security for these people. They were confronted with their sin. And the judge was examining them. And they knew that it was only be a matter of time till he would pronounce them guilty. John saw a great scene. Notice, first of all, the great scene displayed. And then I want you to notice in the second place, the great summons. Notice verse 12, Revelation 20, verse 12. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were open, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. Notice the summons here was delivered. Notice, first of all, the people. Those who died in war. Those who died at sea. There was a young man, and he and I sat together at school. And he couldn't wait to, he was old enough to join the Royal Navy. And they were out one day on exercise, and they were in the Pacific, and they were swimming, and they were having a great time. This young man was ungodly, had no time for God or the things of God. And somehow or other, sharks appeared so unexpectedly. And he was just destroyed with those sharks. I tell you, if he didn't repent before he died, he will be there. Think of the people here that's going to be assembled. And I saw the dead, small and great, rich and poor, black and white. They're standing before the King of Kings. Notice those who were there, the people. But not only the people, notice the proof. Notice what it says, and the books were open. My dear friends, we need to remember that one day God is going to open the books. And one of the books that will be open is this book, the book of Revelation. And Protestant homes, on the 12th of July, it was a closed book in many homes. How we need to get back to the Bible. We need to get back to Bible principles. We need to get back to Bible living. When it comes to the final judgment, the book of Revelation will be open. The book of Holy Scriptures will be open. The book of remembrance will be open. Because the Lord is taking note, there is a recording angel. I wonder, have you ever noticed what it said in Malachi about the children of the Lord? I read in Malachi chapter 3 and verse 16. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord. You see, there is the book of remembrance. But below it, there's the book of redemption. Notice what it says, the Lamb's book of life. And those whose names were not written there were cast into the lake of fire. You see, there's the holy city. And the scripture says, nothing that defileth shall enter therein. Nothing that defileth whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie. But they that are written in the Lamb's book of life. Do you see it, beloved? There's the great summons when the people will appear. And the proof will be presented. And every man will be judged according to God's holy record. Oh, you see, people commit crimes here, and some slick lawyer gets them off, and they get away, it seems, scot-free because of some illegal orality or something that somehow or other they just can't present the case watertight, and they escape the judgment of our land and walk free from our courts. No man will walk free from the judge of all the earth. I want to make you sure of that. You make your family sure of that. You make your neighbors certain about that. That no man, unsaved, will walk away from the great judge of all the earth. John here was on the Isle of Patmos. He's an old man. And he saw this great scene. He saw a great scene. He saw a great perplexity. But he saw a great sentence. Oh, look at it, verses 14 and 15. And the death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. You see, death is not the end, we said. Hell is not the end. We need to know that. Hell is a holding place. We could maybe look at it this way. Some people commit crimes, they're brought before the court. Their crimes are of such a nature that they can't get bail. And so they are put on remand. And then the day when the court sits, and then there's the final sentence. But you notice here that hell is the place the soul goes to after death. The man that lives without Christ dies without Christ. He dies in his sin, and where Jesus is, he cannot come. He goes to a lost sinner's hell. But in the judgment day, he will stand in his body before the judge of all the earth. And then he will be cast into the lake of fire with the devil and the false prophet are. Notice here the great sentence, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death, eternally separated from God. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Let me just sum it all up to you this way. In the final analysis, men and women will be presented to the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Savior will present them to His Father, or they will be forever banished out of His sight. Could I put that again to the meeting? Those that all of us will either be, without exception, let me say that, will either be presented to our Father in heaven or banished forever out of His sight. Do you remember what's recorded for us in the little book of Jude? Jude verse 24, "Now unto Him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy." What a day that will be, we sang earlier, when we are presented to our Father. You see, one day the Lord Jesus will come in all His power and all His glory, and He will receive His bride. And there will be the great sitting down at the marriage supper of the Lamb. And Jesus will say to my Father, "This is my bride. These are those you have given to me. These are those that are washed in the precious blood. These are mine." And He'll present us to our Father in heaven. But those that refuse His pardon, those that rejected Him, those that lived without Him and died without Him, they will stand before Him and they will be banished out of His sight. Do you remember what the Lord Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount? So often Free Presbyterians are accused of never preaching on the Sermon on the Mount. Well, you'll notice the Sermon on the Mount is Matthew chapter 5, Matthew chapter 6, and Matthew chapter 7. Listen to what He says in Matthew chapter 7. And verse 21, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." Listen, "many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied, preached in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name have done many wonderful works? Then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity." You see, beloved, in the final analysis, there's the presentation to the Lord Jesus, or there is the banishment forever out of His sight. Oh, my dear friends, how important it is that our names are written in heaven. How important it is that we are the Lord's. In the book of Revelation, in chapter 21, we are told there something of the description of heaven. Chapter 22 gives us the delights of heaven. And it seems as the Holy Ghost talks about the measurements of heaven and the wonder of it, how God will wipe away all tears and so forth, He pauses and He tells us about those who won't be there. Look at verse 8, Revelation 21, verse 8. "But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." Oh, you see, there's heaven for those that love the Lord, and there is the lake of fire for those that die without Him and refuse Him, and at the final judgment are cast into the lake of fire. Now let me say to you lovingly and earnestly, which will it be for you? Will it be that wonderful presentation to our Father in heaven, that Jesus will present you to His Father? What a day that will be. Or will it mean banishment? I have often thought about it, men and women. I have thought about those who sit in Free Presbyterian pews, who know they could be saved, who know they should be saved, those who have said, "I will be saved," but they weren't saved. How terrible to stand before the judge of all the earth, the final encounter with the Lord Jesus from a Free Presbyterian pew, and hear those awful words, "Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity," to be banished forever out of His sight, having been so privileged. with a godly Sunday school teacher, so privileged with a loving mother, so privileged with a godly father, so privileged with old-time faithful preaching from the pulpits of our churches, and to be in the final analysis, to be lost, lost forever. Let me put it to you in closing. Where will you be in eternity? This question comes to you and to me. Where will you be in eternity? I hope you'll be able to say saved, saved through a long eternity. It will be the case. Right now, if you acknowledge your sin, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. If you're not a Christian, will you trust him now? If you're a backslider, my prayer is that you would be restored this very evening. Our meeting is almost over, but I want to say to you, if there's one with us tonight and you're not saved, and you know you're not saved, would you speak to me on your way out, or some of the Christians here? If you are a backslider, cold and careless, living for the world, I plead with you to get right with God. How terrible to meet the judge of all the earth in a backslidden state. When I meet my Lord, I want to be radiant. I want to be pure. And I want to hear him say, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant." And he'll not say that to me if I haven't been faithful. And tonight, by God's help, I have sought to be faithful to the souls of men and women. May God so warn us tonight that we who are saved will live godly, and we'll witness to our friends and to our neighbors. Those with us not saved, this will be the very night when you'll make certain that you will never stand at the great white throne. John saw a great scene. John saw a great summons, but he heard an awful sentence: "Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity." And they were banished to everlasting fire, cast out of the sight of a loving God. That's the last encounter that the sinner will have with the Savior. Make sure that you're a saint and you'll be forever with the Lord. Let's bow in prayer. Father, we thank thee for your word. Lord, we thank thee because of the death of Christ. Thou hast made it gloriously possible for us to be saved and to know we're saved. For these things are written for our admonition, they're written for our learning. Lord, you have told us these things are written that you might know you have eternal life. We pray that each one of us will be possessors of eternal life. And we will be able to say with truth, "I am his and he is mine." Take tonight what has been of thyself. Bless it savingly and abidingly to all of our hearts. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.